While we're waiting, I'll tell you something funny that happened. When this has nothing to do with anything, but it's a true story. My grandma died when she was 103, and she prayed for me even when my mom was in labor. And from every day thereon, on her knees, until she couldn't get on her knees in her 90s. So all my life she prayed for me. But when she was in her 90s, she started forgetting things. It wasn't senility, but just forgetting things. And one of the things she was forgetting was how some of the Bible stories went. So my dad thought, I'm going to get her a Jesus movie so she can watch it. And it turned out she had never seen a Jesus movie of any kind in her whole life. It had only been like the written word. So she's watching a Jesus movie for the first time and not always remembering how something, what's going to happen next. So it's like Jesus would heal someone and she'd be like a little girl, right? And I wondered too at times if maybe she thought she was seeing it live. So they get to the part where Jesus says, turns to his disciples and he says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me and beat me and kill me. And then he pauses, and his eyes fill up with tears. And then my grandma turns to my dad and she says, they did shoot him in the end, didn't they? Yeah, something like that, Granny. And then it's like, well, actually it was on a cross. Oh, the cross. And then all the hymns kick in, right? At the cross where I first saw the light, yeah. So, okay. Hey, so Mark, are they going to come in, or are we praying for someone, or? Okay. I'm stalling for you. Okay, let's do an exercise. This is a fun exercise based in the passage that we did with Jill there. We're going to ask God two questions and just listen for ourselves. This will, I think, it will already help you if you think of it this way. Well, if you don't think of it as, I have to come up with something, right? If you think you have to come up with something, all I've done is triggered your performance orientation and it will shut you down. Don't worry about coming up with anything. You don't have to. Second caveat, I'm only going to give you 2 minutes, and let's be honest, some of us take half an hour just to dial down. And that's how we are made. So relax about it. But when I call on him, I do expect him to answer now. And how that will come is you will have a thought. You don't even have to claim it was God. Just say this. When I called on him, here's what came to mind. That's very safe. Unless your mind just goes totally blank, in which case, relax. It's okay. So the two questions I'll ask him is, let's ask the Holy Spirit to tell us what Jesus is praying for us. Because right, Jesus is always interceding for us. So Jesus is making requests to the Father for you right now. And we can ask the Holy Spirit what he's praying for. And he might show you one of the things. And then we're going to ask, the second question will be, what's the Father's answer when Jesus prays that? Okay. So what's the Son asking? What's the Father answering? And according to this New Covenant passage, the Holy Spirit would want you to know. So we'll give it a go. And your only job is just to see what comes to mind. Because I'll even do the asking for you. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much that you have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit so that the voice of God could live in our own hearts. We're so thankful that you purchased this for us through your work on the cross and your resurrection and Pentecost. And so, Lord, we've read this passage in John 16 and where you said the Holy Spirit would share what he's hearing. So, Holy Spirit, would you just open our hearts to get a sense of what Jesus is asking for me this evening? If there's anything Jesus is asking the Father on my behalf that you'd want to tell me. Let's just pause and we'll take a minute in silence and just see what comes to mind. So maybe something came to mind. Don't be too quick to dismiss it. But let's now ask Father. If your son was praying something like that for me, then would you let the Holy Spirit tell me what your answer is, how you're responding? Let's throw in a bonus question. Holy Spirit, why would it help me to know that? Why would it help me to know that? Okay, amen. So for some of you, things will have come to mind, and for others it won't have. That doesn't mean you don't hear God. It just doesn't mean, it means you weren't on that station. When you have a radio in your car, you'll have like AM 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, FM 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And these are different stations. And so it is with God. Some of us were tuned into some stations with him, but we're learning to explore others, and I'll explain that more when we do our survey. Did anyone get anything that they'd be willing to share? Yes, okay, well, we may as well, since we've cracked you open.
Jesus was asking the Father if he could take me on a wild ride, if we could go yet. Like, can we take her on the ride? Can we take her? Let's go. I want to take her on a wild ride. And Papa was saying, yeah. Let's do it. And the reason that it was helpful for me to know that is so that I'm not surprised by anything that comes my way, that everything that I get, I can just add it as testimony. Like, yeah, this is it. It's just confirmation that these things are coming and that it's just, yeah, I'm jazzed. I mean.
Yeah, that's a good answer, hey? And so, like, and just boom into a conversation. That's fantastic. So sometimes it does help us if we ask questions. It's like he's already been saying it, but it's more like you tuned into a thing he's already saying. Good. Anyone else want to share before we move on? Are you sure? Yes. Okay, good. We've got two.
He wanted to give me shalom, peace, shalom.
Yeah.
And what was the second question?
And what's the Father's answer?
Yeah, of course. And
but why did you know this?
Because I'm. This is it. Oh, he said because you feel so mucked up. You are so mucked up. That was interesting.
Interesting. Well, I think that you're going to have a little more of a conversation about that too, right? Like, in other words, what's mucking me up? Where did it come from? How will it leave? You know, what to do with that? And all. And you, young lady.
This is embarrassing. You said stop trying to answer your own questions. Stop trying to put that in there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if we're filling in the blanks for God instead of waiting and listening to him, yeah. Yeah. We need to make space for him in our conversations, right? Some of us, me. It was our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For that's the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Click. Like one-sided. If it's one-sided, it's not even a conversation. And then I go on my own wisdom. And it's like, stop, listen, see what God says. And sometimes we're afraid of being fooled or deceived by listening. It's like, I can tell you right now, if you don't listen, you're already fooled and deceived because you're living in your own wisdom. And so we need to stop and listen. Just out of curiosity, I'd like to know, who's the longest married couple in the room right now? Anybody here been married more than 20 years? Okay. Anybody married more than 30? 40? 50? So between 40 and 50, we're like three. Let's pick on somebody. So this couple back there. If you went on dates and only one of you talked the whole time, and the one talking only talked about themselves, would you be married? I mean, sometimes that's my prayer life. It's all about me. Now, you know, have you ever asked God how he's doing? I mean, God is just fine, thank you. But he has stuff on his heart. He'd like it's lovely that you're bringing things on your heart to him, but he has things on his heart. And if it's a personal relationship, question is, when is it going to get personal? And what will relational look like? One way it will look is conversation. But lest you get discouraged and think, oh, you know, this isn't my thing, because that exercise was a good example of how that's not everybody's weight path. Now it's time for a survey. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask a series of questions about, have you ever heard God this way or that way, like in the Job passage? If the answer is yes, I really want you to participate and put up your hands. I know that's cheesy. I know people hate that, but I don't care. Because when we put up our hands, we're going to be testifying that God kept his promise. That the new covenant promise that God would speak to his people is true. And when you put up your hand, also, I would ask you tonight, just don't do the limp fish thing. But to say yes and like lock your elbow. But when you do that, you got to make sure your hand is higher than your forehead, or someone will put like this, a Nazi thing on the, you know what they're doing down there at that Mennonite church? I knew they were Germans. Okay. No, you got to put your hand up. Okay. So we're going to do that. And I want you to be willing to participate. This might help. If Tim puts up his hand, and then, what's your name? Wendy sees Tim put up his hand. She'll go, oh, God is faithful. And that will, her faith will go up, that God is faithful. And if her faith goes up, she hears better. You want her to hear better, don't you, Tim? Well, then put up your hand, for goodness sake. Okay, so you're just putting up your hand to testify God is faithful will help Wendy hear better. And so that's maybe one good reason why we could do the hand thing. All right, and if you haven't heard God this way, you don't have to put up your hand. And since we're in America, you don't have to do anything. But we have socialists in Canada, so you have to put up your hand. No, I'm kidding. But it's a democratic state, so you have to. I just have to say thank you so much. You can't make up the stuff we see on CNN. This is amazing. Or Fox or whatever. So Canadian politics is so boring that we've become obsessive with watching. Okay, back to God. Higher things now. Have you ever felt like that you've become a Christian? Any Christians in the room tonight? Is there some? Okay, there's some even put up two hands. Oh, well, that's lucky. It's not as fun. You should see when I get it. I've done this at like Big Brother's training sessions and like teaching people how to hear God who, or in recovery houses. But if you're a Christian, that's okay, I guess. I mean, and we're not even having a battle here right now, so that's lucky. So, because Christians often don't get along. But here we are together, we put up our hands. Why did I have you do that? Well, because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, nobody comes to me unless the Father himself invites them. Nobody comes to me, nobody becomes a Christian, no one enters the family of God unless the Father himself invited you. Do you remember what that felt like or sounded like? You could have heard the gospel through Billy Graham or through your mom or through your camp counselor or your youth pastor. You could have heard it through a best friend or something. But that's not why you said yes. You only said yes because the Father himself invited you, tugged on your heart. So it might have sounded like a voice, or it might have felt like a tug, or it might have felt like an awakening. Whatever it felt like for you, that's God's voice. He was calibrating you to hear the invitation station. We'll call that the first button on the radio. Bing, invitation station. He invited you into his family, and some of you, he invited you more than once because you were stubborn, right? How many of you said yes to the gospel the very first time you heard it? Anybody? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. This is unusual. Usually in a group, let's say, of 200, one or two will have said yes the first time. I guess maybe people in this region are just better at yielding to God or something. But the rest of us, it took longer, and that's okay, because by the time we became Christians, we were used to hearing him. Even the nagging voice, the hound of heaven who wouldn't give up on us, right? So then that's the invitation station, and he doesn't stop using it. Did you know he wants to invite you over and over and over? He probably invited you to get baptized. He probably invited you to come to this church. He may have even invited you to come tonight. He's the one who invites you, unless it's just a guilt trip, into the ministries you do here at the church. He's invited some of you on missions trips. He's invited some of you step by step through your career, like Mark. It was like, okay, Lord, what's next? And he invites you to the next thing. And you just, isn't that interesting then? When you said, what's next? Who's hitting the button? Now you're hitting it. God can hit the invitation button, or you can hit it and say, invite me, I'm available. Or like with my brother, you know, I'm inviting you, make an AIDS hospice. And this doesn't have to be just for big ministries or for, it can be like every morning. I go through long periods where I remember, and also ones where I forget, but where I remember to ask him before my head gets off the pillow, because my eyes don't work so well in the morning, so it takes me time to get out of bed. So I'm laying there, I'm awake, I'm aware, my eyes aren't working yet, and so I'm like, Lord, what do you want to invite me to today? And it could be very subtle, and it could just be like, I'm inviting you to be kind to that guy at work who's really annoying to you. Oh, I'm inviting you to apologize to your wife today. Oh, okay. I'm inviting you to go to coffee. We're going to go to the coffee shop, and we're going to do a crossword puzzle. Why would we do that? That can't be God. Well, true story. I wake up one morning. God, what do you want to invite me today? Let's go to the coffee shop, do a crossword puzzle. So I'm sitting there doing a crossword puzzle, and someone comes over, and it's like, did you get six across? I'm like, yeah. And a year later, I'm baptizing them. And it was, so in these subtle ways, God can invite us. We did this at a conference once. I wasn't doing the conference. My friend Kim Unrah, he was doing it, and same exercise. And he said, let's ask God to invite us to something. And turns out, like an old man hears God say, let's go to Vietnam. And he's never been to Vietnam, and he thought that was ridiculous. So he says to his old codger friend, I just heard the Lord invite me to Vietnam. And the way the story goes, his friend said, if you go, I'll buy your ticket. And this guy sends ahead emails to Vietnam to try to, like, he's trying to connect with somebody over there, putting it out there, I'm going to be, gets no responses. But he goes anyway. gets to the airport, some underground church pastors are waiting for him. And they take him on a tour of underground churches, and he goes and he says, "You're not forgotten." Whoa. Want to go for a wild ride? Okay, anybody here ever feel like God's ever spoken to you through his written word, the Bible? Anybody? Okay, so when I hear people say, "God doesn't speak to me," I'm like, what? Did your Bible glued shut or something? Here's what you do. You go to the shelf and you dust it off, and then you open it up and you say this, "God, I want you to speak to me today. Through this book, I don't want to read ancient Near Eastern literature by dead guys. I want to hear your voice through this book." And you start reading, and if God is grumpy, he'll let you read for hours. But he's not grumpy. He's like, "This is just what I wanted to do." And even people who have no other stations will hear him through that book. So, anybody, I want to show you this. Anybody here have a Bible on them with highlighting in it? Okay, let's see. Pass me your Bible there. Underline counts. All right, what do you got here? Well, this is maybe recent. No? It was before. So I'm looking here. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak whatever he hears, and he'll tell you what's yet to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from what is mine, making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine, make it known to you." Why did you underline that? Let me tell you. Because God spoke it to you. You're reading it, and his Holy Spirit made it jump out at you. And it resonated for some reason, right? And that's him. That's him. That counts. Could we go with that tonight? That counts. And wow, that's fantastic. I just, while I'm reading it, I'm noticing all the verbs. Guide you, speak, hear, making known, and making known. It's like all these communication verbs, isn't it? So that's neat. So in anybody here who's got highlighting in your Bibles, okay, maybe you're just a good student or something, or maybe the Holy Spirit's illuminating the word, like he promised to do. Anybody here ever feel like God has spoken to them through a preacher or a teacher or a friend or a prophet, like a third party? Of course, right? That counts. When I came out of Bible school, I was such a know-it-all. I would sit there and I would just critique the pastor's message week after week after week. And then we got a new pastor, and now I'm working for the church. And he was driving me crazy because he's such a horrible teacher. Well, his outlines were so bad, and I didn't like the way he interpreted. And the Lord's just like, "Stop it! Stop it! I have a better question than how is he going to screw up today?" The Lord spoke this to my heart. "I promise to put a word in his mouth for you every time he preaches. Ask me what it is." And now I'm attentive. And now I don't care what his outlines are like, because every single week the Lord would speak to me through that preacher, and I could go up. Well, and if God was grumpy, he'd wait till the last 5 minutes. It's like, "Oh, rescue that one." No, you finally listen, right? And then I went and I could tell him, "God spoke to me today through your message." Do you know what that did to his preaching? It created an expectancy in him that this week I'm going to get up and I'm the word of the Lord will be in my mouth. And it was awesome. And we had the best relationship for the next 6 years as we worked together. Tim, do you preach here quite a bit? Yeah. So would it be okay with you if at the end of a message, someone came up and said, "God spoke to me today. Do you want to know what he said?" Would that be okay?
Can I have more thorough answers? Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking this week, that while I do appreciate hearing good sermon, brother, I would much prefer to hear what specifically the Lord impressed on their heart. Because that would, that's just so fascinating, you know?
Now here's the problem with that. They will say to you, let's say, for example, he spoke to me today about his covenant faithfulness and how he just always keeps his promises. And then you will say, I didn't preach on that. And then they will say, I didn't say you did. I said, the Lord spoke to me today. You were boring, so I started listening to him. Right? This has happened to me. But it's a good backfiring. And so, but in fact, wouldn't that be better, like, than just waiting for, I literally had a guy tell me, my job during your sermon is to wait for you to make a mistake. Get a new job, resign already, or don't, like, sleep. So that's what he did. He would just sleep during my sermons after that. But it was so, I'm saying it will dramatically improve anybody's preaching when they find out God is speaking through them. And it will make, they might have not changed at all, but your ears changed, right? Because now you're hearing God instead of the guy who was struggling through a sermon prep. Okay, anybody here ever feel like God has spoken to them through a hymn or a chorus or some kind of music? Yeah, of course. Examples? What's some precious songs? Yep. Take me where my trust knows no borders. Isn't that an amazing line?
Amazing.
That's a God line. Yeah. He wants to answer that, and he helped the lyricist write it. Somebody else? Other? Too many. Oh, come on. Give me a, well, like tonight, for example, right? When I heard God talking about, this is why we listen. It's so that we'll know he knows us. Okay. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And it's from Scripture, too. What do you know? A double whammy. Any hymns? Old hymns? It is well with my soul.
Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision. Oh, yeah. It is well with my soul. Trust and obey. How firm a foundation. This is God speaking to us through our own song. And it counts. You need to know it counts. I'll give you an example of how powerful this is. I was called to a hospital. A woman had been struck by a car. Not an old woman, but like let's say maybe she was 65, and she had lost. So young woman. So she had lost her. The brain scan showed her to be brain dead in the areas that comprehend, and communicate, and feel. She couldn't breathe on her own. She couldn't eat on her own. She was all wired up, tubes everywhere, massive scar on her head. It was a hit and run, and she was a pedestrian. So we go there, and there's me and a couple other of my youth leaders, and then this husband. And we prayed. It's like, God, we just can't have her stay this way. If she's gone, just take her, because this is limbo, and it's not okay. But if you want her back, you call her back. Call her back and heal her body. And then the husband prayed this over her. He's, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when storms like the sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. I'm telling you, I had goosebumps on my goosebumps. The next day, they took the tubes out. She started breathing on her own. By the end of the week, she could recognize people and understand them and communicate. And she ended up being completely healed, except for she lost her inhibitions. So when church was bad, she'd go, this is really bad. And she would cry easily, and she would laugh easily. And I thought, maybe she was healed of everything then. But a hymn, right? A hymn. How about top 40? Anybody? Okay, so out of the hymn book, out of the Christian labels, how about just what you'd hear on the radio? Any examples? build your kingdom here? Who's that saying? And they're like not a Christian band or something? They are. Okay, go further. Go further. Not Christians. Yeah? My special angel by who? Don't remember? Okay. Okay. What else? Bridge over troubled waters. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, don't stop believing, Journey.
Coldplay.
Yeah, yeah. You'll even see this where sometimes it's sort of cryptic, but sometimes it's just blatantly a prayer, right? Like blatantly a prayer, and you're like, why is Mick Jagger praying? It's like, because he listens, actually, and sometimes it comes out. And then, I had a guy named Marcel from Quebec, Montreal, right, with his French accent. It's front row of one of these things. He goes, AC/DC, Highway to Hell. And I'm like, God spoke that to you? And he said, yes. I said, what did he say? He said, this song is about you. And he became a Christian before the end of the song. So, there it is. All right. Has anybody here ever had conviction of sin? Does anyone here ever feel like God speaks and says, this isn't right? Or this, yeah, okay. Hello, that counts. That counts. If it's not him, don't listen. It could just be the accuser, right? In fact, maybe we better be careful that, I don't know about here, but like the communion services I grew up in, we would take a time to examine ourselves to see whether we should be having communion or not. And I think what happens a lot of the times is we just open ourselves to the accuser. We don't want to hear the accuser. We want to hear the Holy Spirit. And let me show you the difference quickly. I need a Bible. Got a Bible? All right. I need a volunteer. Okay, come on up, Tim. Here's the difference. Got to watch my time a bit. But so I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to show you accusation then and condemnation. And then I'm going to show you conviction of the Holy Spirit and how they are kind of lookalikes, but they're totally opposite, okay? So so you're walking along, and then you trip. So you have a little stumble. The devil comes along. The accuser comes along, and he says, there's a law against that. And so just hold this on your head. And there, you're under the law, and you're under the curse of the law because you stumbled. You're a sinner, and you need to repent. Yes, the devil will tell you to repent if he gets to define it. And he defines repenting as beating yourself up. So with that hand, start pounding on yourself. Oh, I'm a suck, I'm terrible, self-loathing, self-hatred. And the amazing thing is, and now you're weeping, and the minister's going, oh, there must have been an anointing today. And he encourages the condemnation, and the devil doesn't take the law off. He'll stack another one on tomorrow. And the next, and pretty soon it's to the roof, and your back is breaking under the, so now your back is breaking, and you're still beating yourself. Okay, now, Holy Spirit comes along. He says, this guy needs conviction. Now, in John, it's actually talking about convicting the world of sin. I don't think this is what this is about. The Holy Spirit comes, and a better word would be, he convinces you. What's he convince you of? He goes, wow, you're sure hunched over and you're sure beating yourself up. And you're, what, did you stumble or something? Here, we have a cross for that. And he takes the law and he nails it to the tree. Oh, it already was, but he lets you know. And he says, repentance is not beating yourself up. Repentance is turning to the kindness of God to heal you of your deepest wounds and meet your deepest needs. The very things that, and to heal what drove the behavior, and he comes not as a punishing judge of your law-breaking behavior, but as a great physician to heal the very roots of that. And he's like, oh, let me try the kindness of God. That leads to repentance, right? And so, and then he's weeping, and the pastor's, oh, there was anointing today. It's like, you can't judge it after the flesh. You just can't. I better get your Bible for you. So, I would say, I've also heard this, like, I never hear God. It's like, what? You never get the Spirit never speaks to you about right and wrong? What, are you perfect now or something? It's like, yeah, we're the holiness guys. So next time you think you don't hear God, just say, hey, anything you want me to apologize for today? Is there anybody I need to go to and make it right? It's like, oh, don't worry, there's a list. There, you heard God. Hallelujah. Okay. Right on time. Anybody here ever feel like God has given you a burden to pray for somebody else other than yourself? Or so you felt like, I need to pray, and I'm not saying it like a bolt out of heaven, but it's like a burden. It's like, that's God, it counts. And even if you're just a worry wart, God transforms the worry warts into intercessors. He calls us to pray. He reminds us that there's people who need our prayers. And if we will turn that, instead of a, you know, you can just live it as sort of a general thing. Oh, I'm having a worried feeling for my son. I think I'll pray for him. You can get more specific. And let's do that now. So we'll do a quick exercise. I'll tell you a testimony to lead into it. We're just going to ask God to show us somebody who he wants us to bring to the throne of grace. And then we will leave him there or her there. And we'll ask, maybe watch God give them a hug, and we can say, is there something you want to give them that I could ask for? We did this at a conference over and over and over, but one of our volunteers who would come quite often finally thought, I should actually do that exercise. And she saw her husband, who'd left her 3 years earlier, alcoholic, living in a bush outside of Vancouver. And so she, instead of just being bitter at him, she took him by the hand in her heart and led him to the throne of grace, left him with Jesus, and then at the end of the night, she went home, and he's sitting on the porch. While she took him to the throne of grace, he had got up, emptied out his whiskey bottles, walked across the city, and was waiting for her, and they reconciled, and he came to our next conference and gave his testimony. Okay, that was like a two-minute exercise. Some of these things are long-term projects, and they still have free will, but still, prayer matters. So let's ask Jesus. I love that. That's the sound of heaven, by the way. So yeah. Oh, I have. Who wants to come home with me? I'll take the little girl. She's so smiling. Okay. So you could do this with your eyes closed or open, because you can do this while you're driving. And definitely, don't close your eyes while you're driving. Okay? So, first question we're going to ask Jesus. So I'm going to practice with my eyes open as if I'm driving. So I'm driving down the highway, and I'm like, Jesus, is there anybody you would want me to bring to the throne of grace tonight? So now I'm not waiting for the burden, I'm asking for one. Just see, does someone come to your mind? A name or a face? Just open yourself up. Jesus, anybody you want me to bring? Could be a stranger, could be a loved one, could be a famous person, could be an obscure person. Okay. And now in your heart, if he's brought someone to mind, if someone came to mind, we just take them by the hand and we're going to lead them to the throne of grace, where Hebrews says you can come for help anytime you need it. So, Lord, you've brought this person to mind. We bring them to the throne of grace. And now here's the sort of the active ingredient in intercession. It's the handing over. It's not carrying them. It's the handing them over. So we hand them over into Jesus' care. And just in your heart, you could even watch him hold them or lay a hand of blessing. Well, let's just ask him to. Jesus, would you lay a hand of blessing on this person? Whatever they need right now, we ask for it. In fact, let's ask them what they need instead of making it up or assuming. You don't know what they need. He knows what they need. So Jesus, what is it that they need that you want to give them? So if he tells you what they need, and if he says he wants to give it to them, then you can ask with confidence, Jesus, we pray that you would give them the very thing that you said they need and that you want to give them. Whether it's repentance or strength or healing, guidance, whatever their need. Now just stay there and watch them while I read this verse over you. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's a strong statement. I don't know if I'd let him preach that in my church. But John says it. Okay. Amen. So we're finding that that's very effective in intercession these days. It's just handing over. When we pray with women in the recovery house, a lot of them are, they want to run away because they're worried about their kids. But their whole problem with their kids is what they did to them when they were out. We're like, it won't help you to go save your kids. That's why they're in trouble. And they do, but they can't help it. So we teach them to take their kids to the throne of grace. And to, they watch Jesus hold their kids. And then they come to peace so they don't have to run away from their recovery house. Including people who don't even know Jesus yet. It's quite wild. All right, one more. Yeah, one more. We could do 20 more, but we'll do one more. Have you ever felt like Jesus asked, gave you a burden to pray for someone, but then he wanted you to also do something, like a nudge? Have you felt like he's given you a mission or just sent you to speak up or to address them? So some of you, right? My mom's like that. My dad's like that. They even as like hardcore Baptists, they didn't use the words God told me, but they would say he prompted me. And so they would operate under these promptings, and my mom and dad would, more than anybody else in our town, they would be the last person to be with someone before they died. My mom worked in an old folks home. They'd call her or my dad down, and it's like, and she, one funny example that's in the book, actually, she's in bed sick. The Lord says, go to the hospital and see Mr. Rose. She's like, Mr. Rose is dying. In fact, he's been in a coma for days. Why am I going to get out of bed? And anyway, I'm sick. And anyway, she argues with God for half an hour, then gets up, gets dressed, goes to the hospital, walks in the hospital room, and Mr. Rose comes out of his coma. Whoop, sits up, totally lucid. And my mom's so shocked, she goes, are you ready to meet the Lord? And Mr. Rose is so shocked, he goes, no! And she said, do you want to be ready to meet the Lord? Yes! So she sits down, she prays with him, and then he goes back to sleep and never comes out again. Dies a few days later. Aren't you glad she listened to the nudge? Mr. Rose is. He's very glad. And this happens all the time. You can't get into the afterlife without going past my parents in Killarney, Manitoba. If you're not a believer, like it's like they don't want to see pastors. They want to see my mom or dad. And they're not, they've never been a pastor before, but it's this, they know my parents will follow nudgings from God. That's, and so then the Lord will nudge those people then to call my parents. Very weird. Anyway, that's a little example of sometimes you get a nudge. Make cookies for the neighbor. You know, stop for this hitchhiker or don't. Don't stop for this hitchhiker. And let's see, it's 9:29, and we're done for the night. So tomorrow we start at 9:30. So I'll give you 12 hours. If you want, tomorrow's teachings on discernment and stuff are standalone. So that if you think of somebody that you wish had been here, it totally works for them to come without having been here tonight. So please text them or whatever.
Thank you so much. Are you guys finding this helpful? You go ahead and stand for a benediction. And when you said that sometimes you get a nudge to make cookies for the neighbor, I turned and said to Mark, that never happened to me. And he said, I get a nudge to eat the cookies. I feel nudged to eat all the cookies. Okay. God, thank you so much for everyone gathered. Would you bless each one? Would you seal the things that your Holy Spirit anointed for each heart? And send each one of us home with the treasure that you delivered to us, that we would savor it, remember it, and learn to grow in some of these things. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. See you in the morning, guys.